Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
KTEL's new releases have arrived, and they are as hot as the summer sun.
Jim, what are you talking about?
These are definitely in the running for Party Albums of the Year.
Are you feeling okay, man?
20 original hits, 20 original stars.
Maybe you should lie down for a minute.
And now you can put all your KTEL LPs into the Record Selector, a new space-age device for storing and selecting your favorite records. Simply place all your albums into the Record Selector. Okay, we're out on the deck again today, and a little chilly. I see you guys sort of, you know, huddling together.
Yeah. Just, I'm happy to be here with Bill and Tim.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Something different.
Sorry, I don't have a fire pit. I'm not that suburban.
No.
Yeah. But I do have this. Tim brought this beer. What am I drinking here? I put a koozie over it now.
I've lost I can't even remember. It's covered up now.
Here we go.
Virginia beer.
Virginia beer.
Nice.
That's all it says. Saving Daylight. It's from,
I think it's from
Williamsburg. Virginia Beer Company, Williamsburg,
nice.
Virginia.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense, yeah.
It's a cool can.
Really cool. Yeah. I'm going to have to try one of those, and reminds me of the Public Image Limited album. Remember, it just said album, and they right. and I was in Repo Man, right? They were just going by the beer at the store or bread. Yeah.
When I was in college, you familiar with Kroger's, the grocery store?
Oh, yeah.
Kroger's, they had a house brand of beer and light beer, but the can was bright yellow, I mean canary yellow, and the word beer on it for the beer and light beer for the light beer.
Beautiful.
And in college, we referred to it as Screamin' Yellow and Screamin' Yellow Light. And so when you were planning a party, you'd get like one or two six-packs of something that was good.
Yeah.
And then spend the rest of the money on the Screamin' Yellow.
So. Nice. It's a good way to go.
Yeah.
Okay, so that voice you heard, that was Bill Mulligan.
Bill Mulligan.
There. And then we also have with us Tim Hoffman. Hello, Tim.
Hey there.
And I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And the show you're listening to is Rockin' the Suburbs. We're in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia. As I mentioned, out on the deck today, so you might hear a car go by, a very loud dog bark once in a while when that car goes by. Some birds.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A little breeze in the air.
A little
it's nice.
Breeze,
yeah.
Airplane, maybe. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. All of that. So today is Bill Mulligan's turn for a patron episode. That means he gets to pick the topic. If anyone would like to be a patron of the show, go to patreon.com/suburbspod.
Yeah.
But what is the topic we decided on today?
KTEL Records.
KTEL Records.
KTEL Records and Tapes.
It's going to be fun, right? Patrick brought over a large selection of his KTEL records. I have a whole bunch in the house. I'm not going to bring them out because I think I have many of the same ones you have. But what got you interested in discussing KTEL records here? Where did this come from?
My first thought was to discuss compilation albums.
Right.
And specifically some compilation albums that I have that I really are important to me. And then I thought, well, I'll lead into that with what... I mean, everybody knows what a compilation is, but when you think compilation albums, you think KTEL.
Right.
So then I thought, well, maybe I'll just talk about KTEL.
So we'll do that. And then I think tomorrow we'll talk about other compilation albums, what we're going to do. But I thought KTEL is so iconic unto itself that we could spend some time here just talking about that, right?
Without a doubt, yeah.
Okay, so do you want to kick us off, or how should we do this?
Sure. KTEL was started by a guy named Philip Kivas. He was born in 1929 in Canada, and I guess from an early age, he showed an aptitude for salesmanship. And he started selling a door-to-door salesman in Winnipeg. He sold kitchen appliances and pots and pans door-to-door. And then eventually, he started moving his salesmanship to bigger and bigger stages. The Boardwalk in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And then he ended up in New York City. And in New York, this was in the early 50s, he was working at Macy's demonstrating products on the floor of Macy's. And one product that he was developing was demonstrating was what the then new Teflon frying pan.
Yep.
Ah.
Nonstick.
Nonstick.
Nonstick. Yeah. Nonstick frying pan. The product itself, I guess, was it was a success. And so he moved back to Canada and made an arrangement with a Canadian department store that if they would carry, if they would actually stock it, because I guess this is before the days of Amazon, if they would actually stock it, have a place for people to buy it, he would do the advertising for it. And the advertising that he came up with was what we now would consider an infomercial.
Ah.
Fast-talking, high-pressure, extended television commercials.
That's right.
The product, the specific frying pans he was selling weren't a success because I guess early Teflon, after a couple uses, the Teflon coating would come off on your scrambled eggs.
Right.
But the sales technique that he developed, you know, boffo, big business. So he started using this technique to sell other products. Some of the other products, you know, these are things that are part of our popular culture. The Miracle Brush, the Vegematic.
Yes.
The Bass-O-Matic 76.
Oh, I remember that one.
The Bass-O-Matic.
Yep.
So the company that he put together to sell all this stuff and to advertise the stuff he was selling was Kivas Television. And Kivas Television was shortened to KTEL.
Ah, wow. Cool.
I did not know that.
Didn't know that either. That's really interesting.
But it's sort of like Ron Popeil and Ronco. Wasn't that his deal, right?
Actually, one of Kivas's first suppliers was Ron Popeil's father. And I guess the Popeil family saw how successful Kivas was with their own products that they decided to start selling them directly themselves.
Interesting.
I knew there was a connection because as soon as I think of KTEL, I think of like Popeil's Pocket Fisherman.
Pocket Fisherman. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
So now, to anybody, certainly anybody over the age of 45, KTEL, what that really means is compilation albums.
Yep. Yes.
I guess if you're under 45, it's you think about now that's what I call music.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Same kind of deal, right?
That's the air. Yeah.
Although a little bit different, but similar idea.
Very similar.
But was the heyday sort of in the 70s when we were kids? Is that why we remember them so much?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So I never figured out, never able to find out how he came up with the idea. I don't know if he was, you know, trying to hang the clock over the in the bathroom and he fell, and when he woke up, he had the idea for the compilation album or what. But in 1966, he released his first compilation album, and it was entitled 25 Great Country Hits, and it cost $3.49.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And you got a free Bobby Darin 45 along for the ride. And that did well. So then he released 25 Great Polka Hits.
Yep.
Which sold 1.5 million copies in the United States.
I think he sold
out his entire stock.
Just because you think you're so pretty, just because you think you're so hot, just because you think you've got something that nobody else has got. You caused me to spend all my money. You laugh and call me old Santa Claus. I'm telling you, baby, I'm through with you just because.
So he had a good idea. However he got this idea, he had a good idea. Yeah, and it started in the late 60s.
Okay.
And for about 2 decades, he was putting these things out. At its height, they were every couple of weeks he'd come out with another one. A different title, different genre, however they were organized.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill, at this time, this is like primarily on vinyl, right? This stuff is being pressed on vinyl.
I think eventually also cassette, but most of KTEL's product was on vinyl.
Probably 8-track.
And 8-track. Yeah. KTEL also was responsible for, I don't know if you remember, Hooked on Classics.
Yes.
I do remember that. Oh, that was a big deal.
Those were huge mid to late
70s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody had that. There was basically like disco beat of like classical music, right?
Yeah.
And those sold through the 80s. I remember working at a record store and selling those Hooked on Classics. Oh, yeah, they stayed around for a long time. Hooked on Classics, Hooked on Swing,
yep.
All those were popular.
I remember those. Yeah. I think we had those in our house.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Between 77 and 83, KTEL sold 150 million albums in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah. In fact, I looked up this morning, I looked on Discogs, and KTEL as a label has over 6,600 titles
wow.
listed.
Are you kidding me?
No. I mean, obviously, some of that's going to be the LP and the cassette.
Yeah.
But still, for comparison, IRS Records, you know, the punk new wave label.
Heard of them?
Yeah.
They only have 4,100 entries.
Wow.
And Stiff Records, 2,800.
Wow.
So
okay.
There's a lot of KTEL product in basements and attics across the United States these days.
Got a long way to go to complete my collection.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's right.
Well, it's funny as you said, because I was thinking to myself, I wonder if I could just pull up a list of all the records, and I'm not immediately finding it. It's probably because of what he said.
There's so many, right?
6,600,
you said?
Yeah, 6,600.
Wow.
And, of course, everybody remembers the commercials. He used the same technique for selling frying pans. He used the same technique to sell records that he used for frying pans, kind of loud and attention grabbing, and I was watching some on YouTube yesterday, and at the time, crazy graphics. And he had other products as well. Like I said, they including, I don't remember this at the time, the record selector.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Bill, because right on the back of this 22 Explosive Hits album, there's an ad for the record selector, and just listen to this,
what
folks.
What is it?
Well, number one, let me read you some of the features. It's got finger touch starting. It runs fast or slow. It works like a computer. Find your favorite music in seconds.
What?
Record Selector is a new space-age device for storing and selecting your favorite records. Simply place all your albums in Record Selector, move the first record forward, and all the other records flip slowly forward. So there it is.
Yeah, it's like a Rolodex for your records. But it only holds 24, so Patrick would have to have, what, about 1,500?
I need a lot of these Record Selectors,
Dominoes, like one record falls forward and...
Yeah, exactly. That's you just flip the first one, and they just keep coming until you stop it and pull out the one.
It holds 24, but they weren't marketing toward the serious record collector with a product like
Probably not. More the teen listener. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, for only $3.99, you can have your record selector.
Yes.
And interesting, too, Bill, that you were talking about Ronco, because I went into my collection, and I have a lot of compilation albums. I have a shelf or so of them, and I try to loosely organize them, like country, soul, you know, world music, and I have all the KTELs together, but I reached in and grabbed a stack. But I got a Ronco here, and Ronco was advertising the record vacuum on the back of their thing, which I think I'd probably rather have the record vacuum.
Does that work like a computer, too?
It doesn't mention that, or that it's space age.
No, because in space you wouldn't get probably a lot of dust particles things on your records.
Pretty dust free out
That's
there.
That's right. So you
the dishwasher was pointless in space.
But yes, Ronco also got into this game at some point.
Yeah.
And put out records too. But I think pretty much copying the style. So you might just mistake it for a KTEL record. But KTEL had the brand name cachet.
That's right.
Right. Everybody knew KTEL records.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in you remember seeing the commercials, Act Now.
Yeah.
No COD, whatever it was. Yeah.
Right. No cash on delivery.
Right? That's right.
You don't want your mom answering the door.
That's
right. Like there's $25 worth of KTEL albums that you ordered off the TV.
They're the
set.
Kind of commercials that'd be on often late at night when the airtime was cheaper, right? And they put it on and, you order now and you get this discount or you get this bonus thing or whatever. Operators are standing by and they kind of quickly go through a bunch of the hit songs you were going to hear.
Yeah.
And they're usually big names. That's the other thing. So whoever did this licensed it very well, right?
That's it. That was the key.
They got big name artists with hit songs.
Yep.
And that's the sort of, now that's what I call music model that existed.
Right.
That came along later, right?
Yep.
And that was the key. Although they'd usually be mostly kind of thematic, right? Now that's what I call music is mostly just like what are the
chronological
top 40 sort of hits, but these were usually based on some kind of theme, weren't they?
Like dynamic sound or starburst would be one, starflight would be another.
Maybe I'm wrong about this. So those just general.
One thing I'll say too about these KTEL records, as I've come to appreciate, over time, Yeah,
all original
hits
and stars.
That was the big thing. They were all original hits. They were not, and you could find those records, right, where they've been re-recorded by another band, like the hits, like we were talking about.
Right.
But just look at, I don't know which one, it was that yellow one, the Dynamic Sound album.
Yep.
We were talking yesterday about Cornelius writes a 13-track album. There's 11 tracks on this record on side one.
Yeah.
There's 22 songs. So fidelity-wise, not a lot. They crammed them all in there.
Groove.
Yeah. Yeah. They were really compressed.
Smash it, or whatever they call that.
You're kind of stealing my material here.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to mention the fact that, normally there were 10 or 11 tracks on each side. And you know, you're not talking 180 gram vinyl here.
I mean, no.
These things
no
are
way.
Pretty flimsy, and the grooves are jammed tightly together. That one little nick, and all of a sudden you're in Skip Town. So
next song,
you missed Diana Ross completely.
And they were probably also radio edits too.
Yes,
you know,
may
so
have
as,
been,
as short as possible, they could even make the song. Right?
That's
right.
They, exactly. Mm-hmm. They'd frequently. Just fade out halfway through, not halfway through the song, but three-quarters of the way through the song, or they would cut out verses to get them down because, you know, what is, even tightly packed, an LP holds, what, about 22, 23 minutes a side, I think?
Yeah, that's right, if you want decent fidelity, absolutely,
So.
I wonder, like, when K-Tel was in its heyday and these were selling, you know, they were selling by the millions in a year. Just the connection, because in my mind, because I had purchased my fair share of K-Tel records at the Kmart, or we got them here and there back in Ohio.
That's
but
where I would get
but
them.
It was almost a direct connection in my mind as a kid, like between American Top 40, listening to the weekly countdown, Casey Kasem, and then some. You know, maybe I had a few bucks in my pocket, and like. Being at the department store, like, oh yeah, you know, they cranked them out so frequently that like there wasn't a lot of lag time between like songs that you were hearing on the radio in American Top 40, and then maybe a few weeks later, a couple weeks later, you'd see it for sale.
That's right.
You know, it wasn't just one person's album, so you could get like a number of 22 original hits
That's
and original
right.
stars. Like, so.
Yeah, I think you're right. The home label of the artists. Would see it as a way, after the single had peaked, to give it a few more legs, to get a few more pennies out of it. Although apparently it was not unheard of for them to insist, if you want this song, which has been a hit, you need to include this song, which wasn't a hit.
Right, but we want
it
to be.
As a hopes, giving an artist
I didn't know
a track a second opportunity.
Yeah, because you'll see people that are on both sides of the record, which is really, you know, there'll be a song on side one and maybe a song on side two, which is interesting too. Now, that one's interesting,
okay.
Jim.
So,
the
K-Tel
International label. I'm not sure what exactly that was about.
They're branching out.
That's a later one, I think, 1980. Yeah. But
1980, Patrick handed me one called Sound Waves, and it does say K-Tel International.
Yeah.
Though I don't see any international artists on here, but I just want to say the variety.
Yes, that's the thing.
Is unbelievable, right? So you go on this one, first thing that stuck out on me on this one here is that you have Prince, I Want to Be Your Lover.
That's right.
Wow.
That's a great song,
Yeah, unbelievable.
Unbelievable song. And right after that, you have the Empire Strikes Back medley by Miko. Great song. And then I Was Made for Loving You.
My Kiss.
Comes right after that.
Yeah.
And then you close out with You Better Run by Pat Benatar, closing out that side. But on side two, you get some Captain Antoniel. You get some Air Supply.
Yep.
I mean,
Let's shut this down right now and put that on the turntable, folks.
Pure
we'll
Prairie
talk to you tomorrow.
League.
Yeah.
Pure Prairie League. And Prince. Like, you wouldn't expect those two things, those two acts to be on the same record.
Dark clouds are blowing in the wind.
voice in your mind again. You got that sad, sad feeling from a broken heart and feeling so close to the end. Let me love you tonight. There's a million stars in the sky.
This was, of course, still the era of top 40 radio was still king of time.
Absolutely.
And you actually would hear a variety of things on the radio,
that's
not like today
point.
Where everything's so siloed.
Yes.
That
that's a great point, Bill. Yeah.
And I think this was marketed, obviously, you know, the whole idea of it, like you mentioned, these were the kind of things you could find at like Woolworths, right?
And it's funny you say that, Jim.
Outside of record stores and mail order and that kind of stuff. And it was obviously for the casual fan. It was not necessarily an album collector, not necessarily somebody who wanted to buy, wanted to listen to a whole album by an artist.
Right.
Just wanted to hit songs, right? And this was easier than buying a bunch of 45s. You just buy an album, it's got 25 hits on it.
It was like a perfect like birthday present or Christmas gift. Yep. Like I'd received a few of these because, you know, parents knew, like, the kid loves music, so we'll
there
get
you
him
go.
A kid's
that.
Car.
Thanks, Grandma.
He'd love Dynamic Sound. It has 22 original hits by original artists.
I'll tell you, I got many of those as well, and you mentioned Woolworths, but I don't know. I mean, I grew up in Northern Virginia. I don't know when Tyson's Corner Mall opened, but I know from the time I was 10 or 12, it was there. And my mother, you know, being a single mom, she would take me there, and she would go shopping in the mall and just give me a $5 bill. I'll never forget this. And the first place I would go to was to Woolworths, to the little sad record rack in the back, and that one pissed off guy that was working there. And I would go and get the K-Tel. That's where I got them, because you could get a whole, you know, 25 songs for for your $5 and still have some money left over for, you know, candy or whatever. I mean, it was great. Yeah.
Well, tell me, Patrick, you brought over about how many, about 6 or 8?
Yeah, probably. I probably have 25 or 30 at home.
Are these original purchases from the time, or is this stuff you buy like crate digging?
I probably only have one or two it was like Bill was saying, they wouldn't survive. They wouldn't survive because they would be so scratched up. You played them so many times. You're playing them on the world's crappiest stereo
that
you had at home in your little portable record player.
They're not high-quality pressings to begin with.
No, exactly.
But I'll tell you, you can go crate digging at
stores. Oh, you
can find them
everywhere.
You can find a bunch of these things, and I buy them whenever I see them. Super cheap, usually. You can get them for like $1.
Yep.
Sometimes in really bad quality because they did not hold up. They'd be really staticky or whatever, not unlistenable, but they're fun just to even
they're
just
great
have,
to have.
Just for the cover art.
A lot of these don't even have inner sleeves in them, I don't think. They're just the record inside.
To me, they're just a great artifact to have, you know, if you're a collector.
Yeah,
I
agree. Just to see those juxtapositions and things.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. You were talking about maybe it could be a way to discover songs you hadn't heard, because you might buy it knowing, like, I know 4 or 5 of these or whatever, but I don't know the others, and you discover other things. I'm reading this is straight from the Wikipedia page on K-Tel, but there's a spot here which says Dave Grohl, when he gave his keynote speech at South by Southwest, praised K-Tel for exposing him to music early in his life.
There you go.
Specifically,
he was a suburban kid.
Grew up near you, right? In the same
grew
part
around
of,
here, yeah.
Same general part of Northern Virginia, but he specifically mentioned discovering Frankenstein by Edgar Winter Group. On a K-Tel record, right?
I think that kind of endures about K-Tel for me is the, you know, like the combination of how you can treasure pop music, yet it's also such a throwaway at the same time. And the thing that fascinates me, too, is the songs in between the hits that they use to fill out the sides. And when that Pearl Charles record came out last year, I loved it so much because I thought, this sounds like all the songs in between all the hit songs that I love so much. You know, it was like such a perfect combination of those poppy elements and that weird sort of AM radio stuff. And people, they got pretty close to making a hit, but didn't quite get there. Yeah. You know, yep. Some of the stuff, it's like, wow, they almost got there. You know.
Listening to them today, you do find some stuff that you would not hear otherwise, right? But at the time, totally. They were either hits that have since been forgotten or they were close to being hits, right?
This is kind of
similar to what we were talking about yesterday with Tim with that Cornelius album, too, in the sense of, like, it can just drastically shift from one song
to the next. Yeah,
right?
In a very similar way. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, we're not giving Bill enough time to talk, and this is his episode.
But we're stealing off his all of his
all his material? Okay.
So K-Tel was going great guns through the 70s and into the 80s, and in fact, they had so much money that they decided to diversify. And they went into real estate, oil and gas.
Did they really?
Like, wow. Yes. And that...
What?
They didn't do it right, and they went bankrupt.
Oh,
and,
wow.
In 84. Yeah, in 1984, they had to file for bankruptcy.
Wow.
And that was basically the end of them...
Oh, it's too bad.
...releasing music. They eventually reorganized, and I think they may still sell... stuff online, but not music. Apparently, they still have a rights to tens of thousands of songs. So they still make money licensing music that they somehow got the rights
acquired
to.
The rights to.
So they ended in the early 80s.
Wow. I never knew that.
They ended right at the time when CDs were coming out that they could probably make a whole...
Oh, my God. You're right.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
You know,
I know.
Pile of cash, right?
Now, I will say this. Also, they didn't spend a ton of time on the covers of the K-Tel albums.
I love them.
I know. But they were very eye-catching, right?
Yes.
They had a certain style. Yep.
I love them.
Yep.
To me, that's part of the reason why I buy them when I see them is because...
They always had some sort of explosion or something happening.
An exploding rainbow
fantastic.
On that.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yes,
or explosive, this, yeah.
Yes, it was very...
Hit explosion, hit machine.
Similar to the infomercial kind of thing. It was like yelling at you. And it was,
that's right.
And
it worked
great,
like
but
a computer.
The graphics were loud, and they'd have some big type across the front. You know, there was no subtlety
on
these records at
all. And they would never, ever miss an opportunity on the back to advertise something else. I mean, that was prime advertising space on the back of that record.
Another compilation record or the some space age
record
computer like machine.
I'm going to start we got to start a cover band called Record Selector, and we only play songs off the hip machine. Who's him?
That's funny. Any other thoughts? Anything else, Tim, from you on K-Tel?
No, just, you know, I really appreciate this episode just because it brings back a lot of memories of these records that I had and, you know, and spent a lot of time listening to. And I also was exposed to a lot of new music through this. Just a lot of artists that I remember, like, you know, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, you know. Maybe I had heard a song on the radio, but... you know, would pick that stuff up. And so, I, you know, Dave Grohl, what he said, I second that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I guarantee there are listeners out there who are fans of K-Tel Records.
I hope so.
I am sure of this. So
if there are not, you're listening to the wrong podcast. Yeah.
So we'd love to hear your K-Tel memories. I think that would be fun.
Oh, my
I'm
God.
Sure there's some stories
Kidding
out
me?
There. Call and leave a message, 612-440-1984. There you go. Or email us. You can just, you know, type an email or you can record a voice memo, send it in.
Yep.
rock@suburbspod.com. Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We'll be talking K-Tel there.
That's right.
At Suburbs Pod. All right, let's get out of here. We're going to do another patron episode tomorrow with Bill.
That's
and
right.
And it's going to be just on compilation, our favorite compilation albums in general. So you guys be thinking about that.
Okay.
Right?
Are we sleeping out here again? Because it was kind of cold.
Kind of cold, yeah.
We'll be all right, I guess.
Well, you know, you guys do have a car, right?
That's
we'll
true.
Sleep in the car. Yeah.
quit your belly.
I'll bring you out a cereal bar in the morning.
Thanks, man.
Okay.
That's all I need.
All right. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
With us has been
Bill Mulligan
and
Tim Hoffman.
And we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
K-Tel's making waves. Sound waves with sensational Diana Ross.
I said upside down, you're turning.
Rocky Burnett. The sound waves sizzle with Pat Benatar, let's your Prairie League, and Jermaine Jackson. Robbie Dupree. Wave after wave with Air Supply, The Spinners, and Lip Sync. Today's biggest hits on Soundwaves, in tune with the 80s from K-Tel. Available at these and other fine stores.